Rory Gretton from Antipodean Gin. Good morning, Rory.
Good morning, Simon. Thanks for having me on your show.
You're welcome. Sam and I are interested to hear about your gin brand and the premise behind that, and then also some of your backstory. So where do you want to start?
Let's start with the gin company. It's always fun talking about that to start things off.
And how do you say the brand? I stumbled over that word a bit, I thought.
Yeah, it's Antipodes, the Antipodes Gin Company. And it's interesting, like when we went with the Antipodes, obviously we, you know, we live in this beautiful place called the Antipodes, which is somewhere between Australia and New Zealand, and we're all Antipodeans. But effectively, we wanted a, you know, a classy way of saying down under. And the playfulness of the word, it intrigues people, and some people know it straight away, and other people are curious about it and want to learn more. We started with the Antipodes Gin Company for those reasons.
Nice. And people wanting to know more is not a bad thing for a company selling a product like gin. So let's get people to learn more about it. No, that's great. Sorry, I did write that down wrong. So tell us, what do you offer? What should we be thinking when we come looking at your gins?
Yeah, look, when we started the business, and it's we're almost like 10 years old. If you think about the distilling industry 10 years ago, it wasn't what there was today. There was probably, you know, under 50 distilleries operating in Australia. And the sheer bulk of the spirits coming into the country were obviously imported. And, you know, fast forward to today, there's, you know, last count, well over 700 distilleries, all producing, you know, everything from, you know, gin to vodkas and rums and whiskies, et cetera. And it's a really vibrant industry. But when we started it, we wanted to, you know, we always thought, how do we, because we thought it was a bit crowded back then, with 50 distilleries, and we always thought about the kinds of things we wanted to have in our business as mandatories from day one. And it was really around sustainability and, you know, ethical sourcing and using organic products, etc. So from the very first bottle we made, we went through a bit of a long process prior to it, and we were Australia's first certified organic distillery. We partnered with Carbon Neutral, and, you know, we plant trees to do a lot of carbon offsetting. And we've always been conscious of those things, you know, apart from making an amazing product, it's got to taste great. That we wanted to build those things into it from day one, and make sure that we were proud of the business, not just because we could, you know, have a gin company, but also the impact that it wasn't having on the planet. And they were really conscious choices. But I think, you know, when you get those things right at the start, or you build them into your business, you don't challenge yourself down the track and go, well, how do we do better? Because we might have to add cost into the business or something like that. Mm. And so having that from the start really allowed us to then have that as our underpinning platform. So, you know, sustainable products, certified organic, carbon neutral. And recently, in the last 12 months, we've become the first certified sustainable distillery in Australia. And we just see those as important steps and platforms to continue to push forward ahead with, because, you know, everyone wants to do the right thing, but particularly as brand owners, sometimes it adds costs, sometimes it does things. So if you build it into your business straight away, it's just part of who you are, and something we're incredibly proud of.
Yeah, what? Congratulations. That's amazing.
Well, what does it actually mean to the layman, the certified sustainable?
You'd be all aware that everyone says, you know, about recycling and packaging and carbon, you know, offsetting and things like that. And with ACCC now really focusing on a lot of greenwashing, we wanted to make sure that we could stand by it with a certification saying that, you know, we cannot go out and proudly talk about all the sustainable things we do, because we have an independent third body audit our business, like we have a, you know, the Australian Certified Organics audit our certified organic status. And so, you know, they will look at everything through our supply chain, how we source initiatives within the business to improve our carbon footprint or reduce consumption and reduce waste. They'll look at our where we source our products from. And obviously, being certified organic, that goes a long way to adding into the certified sustainable nature of what we do, because we're already dealing with our suppliers that are, you know, treading lightly on the planet as well, and, you know, not using pesticides and herbicides and things like that. And so it's this, I guess it's a health check on your business to make sure you are constantly doing the right thing and not just saying you're doing the right thing. Mm. And it also then challenges our business to think about, well, what's 10 years look like from now? What else do we have to do? How should we source our raw materials, our packaging? What do we think about when we have to buy equipment? Electricity consumption, like all of those things go into our business case for growing our brand. Mm. And that takes you down a path with, what formats, because obviously the spirits industry is a glass bottle format. Is that the most sustainable format going forward? You would have seen in the wine space, there's lots of different things happening with plastic bottles and frugal pack, which are the cardboard bottles with a plastic lining. And there's a move away just from that glass bottle space. So what does that look like in gin and vodka and spirits 10 years from now? And how can we help it evolve?
Overlaid with what does it look like by sales? because if you change it too radically, people will go, well, I don't know what I think. I expect my gin to be in a bottle. And that's a difficult thing to break down, but it would take time, I guess.
Mm. It's funny, though, because I think with spirits there is more of a thought to be accepting of other formats. So, with wine, it's so traditional. And obviously you look at the sales and go, okay, well, wine in cans, okay, for us, that's not working. But I think with, spirits, there is that sort of acceptability of different formats and different thinking and challenging. Are you seeing that, Rory?
Yeah, and also outside of Australia. We just got back from London at the IFE, one of the biggest food and beverage shows in the UK. It was pleasing to see the different formats, and some of them will, absolutely won't work. But I think we're not going to just go and take our entire business and go, right, we're now changing to a new format and hope the consumer likes it. I think you can start to experiment, and it might be under a different brand, or you might work with one of your partners to launch a specific format. But I think consumers now are more open to it than they've ever been. They do appreciate the impact of their choices, and they want companies to help them make easier choices, because every consumer wants to do the right thing, but we're all consumers as well, and sometimes we have habits, and sometimes there's a price discount, and that's actually more attractive than the sustainable option. But it's all evolving, and I think if you look at what happens this year or next year, you're probably right that it's really hard. But if you think of what happened last decade and what's happening this decade and what's coming the next decade, you would have seen those changes across categories, and there is a movement towards those options. And it will take some of the bigger companies to take a lead, and we're not that company, to be able to, break a category. But it will take some of those bigger organisations to address their sustainability agenda to help shift that consumer sentiment away from it. And, we have seen that. And, there's products in aluminium bottles doing quite well, and that whole lightweighting thing and using things like aluminium, which is infinitely recyclable, is a fantastic choice. It's more expensive, but that's some of the things we need to think about. And I guess with certified sustainable, it helps us think through those things, not just go, we'll just do what the category is doing. I think it just adds another point of differentiation to the why consumers really resonate with our product and why they connect with it more than just, oh, it's a gin and it's that price and it's an Australian craft gin. We try to have all these other layers to it to enable the consumer to come into the brand, and it might start with the name, it might start with the format we've got, it might start with the backstory, and then hopefully it ends with a great time with the product and their family and creating memorable experiences.
Yeah. So you've put so much time and effort and thought into sustainability and carbon neutrality and all of that. So what does your gin taste like?
Is it yum?
Absolutely. When we started with our products, for the first year we had one product, just our original gin, it was a very citrus forward gin, lots of oranges and lemons and things, and Shane and I, two of the founders, grew up in Sunraysia, surrounded by oranges, so we felt it appropriate to head down that path. But we also built it to drink neat or with soda water, You know, like Sonic, like soda water and tonic, not necessarily built to just be a gin and tonic drink. You know, the beautiful, you know, native botanicals we have in Australia, which are very unique, and every time you go overseas, people get really excited by it. You know, things in our original gin, like Tasmanian pepperberry, which not just gives some flavour, but it also gives like a really nice warming sensation on the back of palate. That was, you know, lemon myrtle, and as I mentioned, the citrus gives a really good front note to it. So as you're drinking it straight, like just with some ice, you're getting this different feel of not just the smell, the aroma, the taste, but also like a, you know, nice warming sensation from the product itself. And we're super proud of that product, and it continues to be one of our best performing products. And as I mentioned, it's, you know, 10 years old, and we haven't changed a thing about it. And then as we've sort of built products from that, and we have a pretty tight portfolio. We, you know, the temptation with gin is to make 1,000 different variants. But we have six variants. And that's all we've launched over 10 years. And we always think about, so what does the consumer look for? They're just looking for another variation on the London dry gin, or just something with some more flavors or different botanicals. But we think about how they're going to consume it. So, for example, our pink gin was designed to drink with in a pink gin spritz, like a, you know, big wine glass with pink gin and some pink Moscato and a big wedge of grapefruit. And our things like our chai gin, which we launched about 8 months ago, is built to drink with ginger beer. Because what we've also found is a lot of people that say, I don't like gin. They're like, well, actually, they don't like tonic water.
Yeah.
And the barrier for the gin category is probably tonic water. And also this perception that you only drink gin and tonic during summer. Mm. And so having things like our chai gin that you have with ginger beer, or our watermelon gin that you drink with, you know, lemonade or yuzu soda or something like that, and our Oceanic, which is incredible in a martini, we tend not to just talk about this is the tonic that you pair, because there's plenty of different tonics out there, and I find a lot of the tonics mask the flavours of these incredible botanicals that we have.
Yeah.
So we'd rather encourage people to have it neat or in soda water, or in a different type of serve.
Yeah, I agree. I keep going back to soda water to have, because or neat. Do enjoy gin neat, but if you want more of a drink as such, you know, you need that volume. You know, so adding the soda and some ice, and as you say, a wedge of some garnish that marries in with the flavours of it. Where do we find your gin? Are you widely ranged? Are you in, you know, major retail, or are you? Where are
We are. So we're ranged exclusively with the Coles Group. So that being First Choice, Vintage Cellars, and Liquorland. So they're our major retail partner. And then outside of the Coles Group, but we're in lots of independent liquor outlets, and you know, always at markets and online and things like that. And then through places like Duty Free, so Heineken and Lotte and the airports. When we think about Australia, and we think that that's a great place to be, you know, the temptation is obviously to go to the other major retailer, but we think there's a much better opportunity offshore to connect our unique products with overseas consumers, because every time they hear and try and think about products like Kakadu Plum or Tasmanian Pepperberry, Lemon Myrtle, you know, Strawberry Gum, all these, you know, really great products that give not just a great taste, but they also conjure up a really great visual about Australia. And, you know, as Australians, sometimes we've been embarrassed about the whole Australiana side of things. But when, you know, again, I mentioned we just came back from London, when you talk to people in the UK who are, you know, arguably some of the biggest gin drinkers in the world, they were connected to the story behind it and the, you know, Kakadu Plum, and, oh, what is that product? And, oh, my goodness, like, I've never tried or heard of that before. Mm. And these are products that are unique to Australia, so we should be showcasing that outside of Australia.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it sounds like it's not just a back of the yard business that, you know. So how did you get to this point?
Yeah, it's started as a side hustle. So three best mates, as you do, talk about what you want to do when you grow up, and wouldn't it be great to own a bar or something. We talked about it for a couple of years, and eventually, you know, and I had a corporate career at the time, so there was lots of things I couldn't do from a non-compete perspective, but I could do alcohol. And then we took, I guess, all of our learnings and, you know, what we enjoyed as individuals and settled on gin and the type of gin we wanted to launch. And again, you've got to remember 10 years ago, there wasn't a lot of distilleries around. And so we started Gypsy Distilling, which is using someone else's equipment, and we got them certified organic. And then we launched to market soon after. But, you know, the three owners of the business, you know, our backstories is, you know, one's a photographer, one's an engineer, and one's a business person. And that helps because we bring these very unique skills to the business. There's plenty of overlap between what we contribute, but there's also areas where we sort of specialise in. And, you know, as a lot of people appreciate, being in a small business, you have to be, you have to have lots of mini general managers because you have to be across a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And those skills work. And, you know, it's great to say 10 years later, we haven't had too many arguments or disagreements. We've got a business that we're proud of. We had a distillery based up in Canberra, which we bought from another business that was going through some challenging times. You know, we've got a great team up there. Our head distiller is Justine, who's a winemaker by trade. Mm-hmm. And that actually...
You hear that a lot, don't you, Sam?
Yeah.
And they've got a fantastic, you know, nose for the product and the botanicals and the process. Mm. And, you know, I put my hand up and say, you know, I'm not great at that stuff, whereas Justine's incredible. And some of the other owners are better than me. So we just bring those different skills to the table. Mm. And, you know, recently we just did a capital raise through virtual and brought another 270 odd shareholders onto the business who sort of believe in the direction we're heading, and we're getting their support. And so with that, we'll be able to really step change the business and move it to another level of growth, which has got that big focus on overseas, you know, and some priority markets, as well as capital investment into the distillery and employing some additional people.
Mm, that's great. So we can come and visit the distillery in Canberra?
Yeah, we don't have a cellar door as such, but we can organise visits because it is a production facility.
Mm-hmm.
But we have opened it for small groups and for people to come and do tastings and things like that.
Yeah.
Because it being, again, certified organic and things like that, having a lockdown process has always been the focus. But we're now starting to think about what does it look like to have, you know, more of a front of house and more of an experience place.
Yeah, and I think also too, just the name, obviously the fact that you've stuck with, or you haven't stuck with, you've developed six great products that you really believe in, the sustainability piece as well, it's almost like it's time to see the personality behind the...
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah, the gin. Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, so Antipodes Gin, yeah, so we can find it obviously in First Choice and Liquorland and all that sort of thing. So you'll find one around the corner, I'm sure. So, out of your range and out of all the different ways to make a drink, what's your favourite of your product?
Yeah, it would be the original gin just on ice. Would be my go-to. But if it's a really hot summer's day, it would be a pink gin spritz with friends out in the backyard, big, you know, red wine glass full of ice, pink gin, some ruby red grapefruit topped up with some pink Moscato, and, you know, just enjoying lots of laughs. They'd be the two go-tos for sure. But there's, you know, many other ways to drink them and many other different products that we do outside those six in terms of... espresso, we do a decaf espresso, vodkas and other things as well, but we are famous for those six gins. I encourage people to enjoy them and share them on Instagram and, you know, share the memories as well as enjoying the products.
I see the spritz being more like certainly a spring thing, but the espresso probably, you know, we're coming into that sort of realm now, I would have thought, given it's cooling down.
And chai as well.
Absolutely.
But today we've got a balmy top of 19 in Melbourne, so I think the spritz sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Or you might find if it gets a little bit colder in the coming months, we've got some barrel-aged products that are great just on ice as well. We do a Chardonnay, a Pinot and a Shiraz. which might be a bit more up your alley being the wine show.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, yes, we are the Wine Show Australia. However, we are
versatile.
We like all drinks and like to cover everything. You can certainly, so if people want to look this up, it's antipodesgin.com. There's some beautiful photography, which obviously one of the partners brings that to the table. So do you have a, oh, you do, you have a, like a newsletter to sign up to so you can hear when the new ones are coming out. So get around it, guys. Rory, thank you, mate. We look forward to having to try one, I guess. So,
thanks so much for having me on your show, Simon. Thanks, Sam. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rory.
Thank you, Rory.